Today we want to study Reb Chaim Volozhin's insights in his Ruach Chaim on Avos regarding Tefillah. And as I've said many times, the Ruach Chaim is very concise, very abridged. There's a need to read every single word, every sentence, and try to interpret it, try to embellish it. Sometimes we have to use the Nefesh HaChaim of the same author, Reb Chaim Volozhin, to enhance our understanding of the Ruach HaChaim. Sometimes we need to embellish it by comparing it to other sources. And Rav Noach Olbaum Shlita many times tries to show how Reb Chaim Volozhin, coming from the Litvisha end of the spectrum, that polar extreme, as a Talmud of the Gaon, nevertheless there's so much overlap with the other end of the spectrum, the Hasidic world and those giants. There was a Yid HaKadosh who lived some 150 years ago, and he becomes a paradigm for Hasidim of what Tefillah is all about, as we'll soon see. But let's just read Reb Chaim Volozhin, and again, I want to reiterate what I've said many times, the ideal, the lofty vision of something so spiritually high, on the level of Malachi Asharis that Reb Chaim Volozhin gives us, he projects this image that we have to understand, we have to see a vision of it. It's not necessarily something that we can say with Shaykh, we can reach those levels, but to see the levels, to enjoy a perspective of that great level, that's what we want to get from Reb Chaim. And here in the Ruach HaChaim, Reb Chaim identifies tefillah with what we call Mesiris Nefesh. Now the concept of Mesiris Nefesh, as we generally understand it classically, is identified with the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, of being Moser Nefesh, where a person gives up his life. Reb Chaim Volozhin identifies the Mesiris Nefesh concept not with Kiddush Hashem and giving up your life, but with Tefillah. Tefillah itself, in its highest, most profound an extreme form, is itself Mesiris Nefesh. There's an equation here in Reb Chaim between Tefillah and Mesiris Nefesh. Ki inyan ha-Tefillah hi Mesiris Nefesh la-Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, how does Reb Chaim come to this conclusion? How does he speculate or present this equation that Tefillah equals Mesiris Nefesh? And the answer, I think, lies in the next two words, Ke'inyan HaKarbon. There's a whole slew of equations that Reb Chaim is working with. The concept of Avoda, as the Mishnah has at the beginning of Avos, Al Shlosha Dvarim, and Avoda is one of the three pillars of the world. Avoda is Karbon, is working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bringing yourself close to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Avodas HaKarbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Now that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash and we don't have Karbanos, what is the replacement for Karbanos? The substitute for Karbanos is Tefillah. When the Torah says, V'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem, the Sifri says, Ezi Avoda Shebelev, Zui Tefillah, Tefillah becomes identified with Avoda, and Avoda itself is identical with Karban. So Tefillah, therefore, by the transitive law, becomes a replacement for Karban. Now, if we understand Karban as Mesiris Nefesh, then we can understand that by definition, Tefillah, which equals Karban and replaces Karban, is itself Mesiris Nefesh. So again, in the classical Lithuanian approach to Tefillah, Tefillah is a moment of communication with Hashem. We encounter God. He's Omed Bifnei Hashchina. But the concept of Mesiris Nefesh is l'chora foreign to Tefillah. A person might have to cleanse themselves spiritually and ethically before they stand in front of Hashem. Yes, that's true. Tefillah might bring a person into a quasi-Nevuah situation, because just like in Nevuah, Hashem initiates the relationship with man, so too in Tefillah, man initiates the relationship with Hashem. There is an encounter here, and obviously man is uplifted by that encounter. It's a powerful experience of Hashem. Yes, Tefillah is meaningful, and it's powerful, and it purifies the person, and it projects the person both in terms of his bakoshos, his shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All this is Tefillah. But Mesiris Nefesh, that's already stretching your arm out to another world, another concept. So what is Mesiris Nefesh? And now we go back to Karbon. Karbon, in the classical sense, is a carbon of a chote that's coming for the purpose of kapara. And the Ramban's introduction to Sefer Yikra points out that we must emphasize that when a person brings a carbon, he's really saying, I don't deserve to live. My life is a gift. My existence is a divine matana that Hashem gave me gratis, but the condition of that matana is that I serve Him with a capital H. And ha-nefesh ha-chotas hi-tomus. When man sins, he forfeits his right to live. Now he has to give his life over to Hashem in the form of a carbon. The carbon is that symbolic act in which man says, I'm going to bring the behemoth in place of me. Really, I should be on the Mizbeach. Take the behemoth as a substitute because I have forfeited my right to exist. So when a person comes with a carbon, what he's basically declaring in front of Hashem is that that my avoda to you, Hashem, requires that I give over everything. Nothing is for myself. I have a complete kabolas ol malchus shamayim, total, without limit, all-inclusive and absolute. I give myself, both my soul and my body, to you. That's what's on the Mizbeach. That's what avoda really means. Avoda means I have nothing for myself. I don't have, as we said before, a nefesh, a guf for myself, a purpose of myself. It's all to serve you. L'man chalukim chayim. And if we accept the equation between tefillah and karbon, then tefillah likewise means I come in front of Hashem, and my tefillah means I give up everything that's mine. It's a total mesiras nefesh. I have nothing for myself. In that sense, tefillah is almost like self-negation. In the book about the Yehudi HaKadosh, the Yid HaKadosh, the Heilig Jew, who was a giant of Hasidus, who was a paradigm of Avodas Hashem, of an Oved Hashem, it says that he garnished energies for his Avodah B'Yira Gedola, V'lo Asa B'Kochos Pshutim Regilim HaKol B'Kochos Shalamalami Derech HaTeva. On a natural level, psychologically, a person lives for himself. How could he have given up everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That requires energies that are l'mayla miderech hateva. They have to be divine, miraculous. They come from a supernatural world. U'b'mesiris nefesh befal mamish. When the Yid HaKadosh stands up for davening, he has nothing for himself. He doesn't even cling on to his life. Not his nefesh, nor his guf. And that's what it says in the Chelkas Yeshua, based on the Yismach Yisrael, that every day, very strange, before he, the Yid HaKadosh, went out to tefillah, he would receive a bracha from the members of his household, of Bnei Beis. But what kind of bracha was it? It was a birchas preta. They said goodbye to him. Ki'ilu holech lo lama. It's as if he goes to his own world, the world to come. He's no longer here, located in this physical world. He's no longer body and physicality. He is in a spiritual world above this world. And that's the remez that we find at the end of Sefer Dvarim. V'zos ha-bracha she-birach Moshe l'fnei Moshe. L'fnei Moshe. Moshe was about to depart and take leave from Bnei Yisrael at the end of his life, and he bestowed upon them a bracha. So in the context of Prado, when two people, good friends, are parting and they know they won't see each other again, this is the last meeting point, then one bestows a brach on the other. The members of the household of the Yid HaKadosh would bestow upon him a brach because they knew he was going to be mispalel. And if he's going to be mispalel, then it's mesiras nefesh befal mamish, he's holich lo olamo. And what did the Yid HaKadosh reach? He reached this darg of tefillah b'chinas lifnei moso. It's as if he's before his death, like v'zos ha-bracha. That's why it's interesting that we have a minog that on Simchas Torah we read v'zos ha-bracha. So some say it's just a matter of technicality because we're finishing up the Torah. But it's more than that. This is the end of a period of time, starting with Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, culminating with the 7 days of Sukkot, and finally Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, were parting ways from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the old days, when the people came in Aliyah L'Regel, they would take part from the Melech. There was a king of Israel, and he would bestow a blessing. Moshe Rabbeinu was, Vayi B'Shur Melech, a Melech. and he would bestow a bracha on the people before he departed. So too, the melech at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when there was an Aliyah Regal, would bestow a bracha upon the people as a parting brachas preda, brachas preda. He didn't know if he'll see them next Yom Tov or he wouldn't. And the Tfilas Hayid HaKadosh was Bibchinas Lifnei Moso, was Mesiris Nefesh, it was a preda from his family, from this world, and therefore they bestowed a bracha, a parting blessing. These are the tzaddikim that are on such a level that we said before, a b'china, a darga of tefillah that reaches the level of lifnei mosav mesiris nefesh mamish. And this madrega of mesiris nefesh, this avoda called mesiris nefesh, is greater than even the avoda of the malachi asharis of the angels in heaven, because the angels in heaven are not connected to bodies, that spiritually they're spiritual beings. And man is given both a nefesh, a spirituality, and a guf. And there's something called zikuch, zikuch ha-nefesh, zikuch ha-guf, to purify. When a person is totally, exclusively dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's able to purify his personality, his soul, his mind, his heart. But it goes even beyond that. In the case of tefillah as mesiris nefesh, he's able to purify his guf. He's able to reach a madrega that goes beyond that of the Malachi Asharis. And again, quoting the Chelkas Yoshua, what is Mesiris Nefesh? In most cases, Mesiris Nefesh is to give up your life. But Mesiris HaGuf, that means something of a higher madrega. That means that you can purify and sanctify the guf to such an extent that the guf is also like a neshama. And, you know, when we're talking about these high madrigals of Mesiris Nefesh, we could say that if we compared Mesiris Nefesh in the classical sense of Kiddush Hashem to Mesiris Nefesh in Tefillah in this context, you would say, certainly, if I asked you for a knee-jerk response, which is greater, you would say, well, Mesiris Nefesh Mamish, when I give up my life, I'll Kiddush Hashem. But the Rebbe of Lublin used to say, and I think it flows beautifully from the Ruach HaChaim Reb Chaim Volozhin, is that when a person gives up his life al Kiddush Hashem, that's one time. You know, it's just Pam Achas. Again, it's difficult and it's challenging, and I don't want to expect anyone to have that situation, those circumstances, but in the case of Mesiris Nefesh that we're talking about, of Tefillah, that represents the entire essence of a person constantly, 24-7, 7 days a week, the entire year. Tzarech Lios Adam Chai, he lives with a Chiyus that's Rak LaShem Yisbach, that's dedicated exclusively to Hashem. V'lo b'shvil Adam, he's not interested even in his own pleasures and his own goals, he has no other agenda, Rak LaShem Yisbach. And that is a Tmidi, that's something that's constant. That's a constant challenge. So a person who can live on that level of Mesiris Nefesh, and that expresses itself in Tefillah, that is a Mesiris Nefesh that supersedes in its greatness even that of giving up one's life in the physical sense. It's a zikuch, as we said before, of the neshama and the guf, and it's giving nachas ruach to Hashem on a tmidi basis, on an ongoing basis. It's not just mesira leharig b'pamachas al kiddush Hashem. It's constant mesiris nefesh avodas Hashem tmidis, constantly b'mesiris nefesh. Now, one of the great in the Galitzianic world of Hasidus, one of the great Sfarim, besides, you know, we spoke before about different areas of Poland and the Yid HaKadosh and the Rebbe from Lublin, we can talk about the Shemen Rosh. The Shemen Rosh has many different parts to it, and Chelek Tes, the ninth part, is dedicated exclusively to Tefillah. And I'd like to learn with you two different pieces of the Shemen Rosh, one here and one elsewhere. The one here is on Parshas Ki Teitzeh, and then we're going to rewind to Parshas Vayetzeh. In Parshas Ki Tisa, he has a piece about Megillas Esther. The Gemara Megillah takes apart a pasuk, al pitorsh bal peh, a pasuk in Megillas Esther that describes and introduces Mordechai HaYehudi for the first time. And according to Torah Shebaal Peh, this description of Mordechai Yehudi and his genealogical ancestry is a connection between Mordechai and Tefillah. Mordechai HaYehudi becomes a paradigm of Tefillah, because the Megillah says Ushmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish. You remember this pasuk because we all say it in unison together when the Shaliach Tzibur, the Korei, gets up to this pasuk. And the Torah not only tells us, the Tanakh, who was Mordechai's father, Yair, who was his grandfather, he was Shimi, the father of Yair, and then finally, Shimi was the son of Kish, who would have been the great-grandfather of Mordechai. And the Gemara Darsh, each name is written here to tell you something else about Mordechai and his relationship to Tefillah. First we have Yair, which means he lightens up. Sheheir, says the Gemara Megillah, Einayim shel Yisrael b'tefillah. As a result of tefillah, he lightens up the eyes. The eyes have been darkened, despair. After all, let's get the historical context here. Haman has persevered over Ahasuerus, the king, to sign and seal a death warrant for the entire nation of Israel, men, women, and children. That's the gzeira of Melech Ahasuerus. Obviously, the people are completely gripped with despair, with fear, and comes along Mordechai ben Yair, to lighten us up. Sheheir einayim shel Yisrael b'tefillah. So his tefillah accomplished this goal of lightening the eyes of the Jewish people. Then we have the second name, which is Shimi. That's his grandfather. Sheshama kel tefillah. So God has accepted his hearken to his prayers. And finally, Ben Kish, Shehekish, Hikish al Dalse Rachamim. Up there in the heavens, there are various doors and gates, and he was able to bang on the door and open the door of Rachamim and compassion and spare the Jews from that terrible decree. And the Sheben Rosh asks the obvious question here. The sequence here is very strange. It's Mahupach, it's exactly the opposite. We would think that first he would knock on the doors of the Sharei Rachman, the Dalsei Rachman, then Hashem would hear his tefillah, and finally, through that process of God hearkening to the tefillah of Mordechai, Heiru, Einayim shel Yisrael, the lights in the eyes of the people would return, the eyes of the people of Israel. So it seems you can push this the other way around. Instead of ending with Hekish, you should start with Hekish. Instead of beginning with Heir Einayim shel Yisrael, you should end with Einayim shel Yisrael. It should be first Hakosha, Shehikish al Dalsei Rachmim, then Sheshama Kel Tefillah. And finally, as a result, the ultimate objective here is Heir Einayim shel Yisrael b'tefillah. Now, sometimes a Jew answers a question with another question. And we've been studying an Agadita Masechta Megillah, and a difficult Agadita that. Let's look at an Agadita in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, and that is equally difficult, and one question deserves another question, and maybe the second question will lead us to an answer for both. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us about Rabbi Meir's opinion and the Godel, the greatness of the koach tefillah and accepting tefillah, and everything depends upon kavana. How much intention do you put into your prayer? And Rabbi used to say you could have two people who are both lying in a sickbed, Rahman al-Itzlan, v'cholion shav. As far as we know, they're both ill to the same extent, maybe even with the same germ. Or, for example, another scenario, two people, olim legardim, they've been taken up to the guillotine. In other words, they were condemned to death by the government, by the Malchus. And dinam shavah, there's no difference between the two. And yet, paradoxically, echad yored, v'echad lo yored. One is able to get out of the bed and be healed. He's back on 2 feet. The other never get off the bed, unfortunately. Or in the case of Shnayim, Sha'olim Lagardim, both went up to the guillotine, Zed Nitzel v'Zed lo Nitzel. What's the difference between the two? Why is one saved and one dies? The answer is, says Rabbi Meir, Zes Pal v'Nene v'Zes Pal v'Lo Nene. They both obviously were preoccupied with prayer, and the petition of one was accepted, the other was not. Why was one of these two individuals, why was his prayer accepted and not the other? So the answer is, says Rabbi Meir, Zeshes Pal Tfilah Shlema Niskaven Nene. He who had the Tfilah Shlema, he's the one who Hashem answered his prayers. That's called Tfilah Shlema. His Kavona was Shlema. Zeshes Lois Pal Tfilah Shlema Lo Nene. And of course, the pasuk says, "Ubikashta mishamas Hashem Elokechu matzasa tidrashenu b'chol avavcha uvechol nafshecha." It starts with "Ubikashtem" b'loshen Rabim, but it's only "umatzasa" b'loshen Yochid, because the Rabim initiate this process of tefillah. But who reaches the level of umatzasa? That's only a Yochid, an individual whose bakasha is really his entire essence. "Ubikashtem misham." Es Hashem Elokecha, it means that he has a profound experience. He has what we call a tefillah shlema v'ubikashta misham. And therefore, if it's b'chol nafshecha, b'chol avavcha, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu hearkens to the supplications of a tefillah shlema. But this is a pella. We don't understand the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah of Rabbi Meir, because if two people are in it, it's such a dire danger, whether it's Machmas Choli in the first case or Machmas Gardum in the second case, each one is going to be Omeid B'Tfilo Mevakesh Rachamim. Why shouldn't his Tfilo be Tfilo Shlema? His life is in the balance. As we say the phrase, there's no atheist in a foxhole. Everyone is dedicated to tefillah in such a situation. Certainly these two individuals whose lives are literally shaking, you know, being held up by a thin thread, they're in the balance. They're both engaged in a most profound prayer and supplication. Are we dealing with somebody who's sick, you know, in the mind? I mean, that he can't pray a tefillah shlema? When would be the most appropriate moment in a person's life for a profound tefillah? A true, genuine experience of prayer? It would be when his life is in danger. Ach ha'inyin, he says here, is ki lefa'amim ein roa odo manos b'derech ha'teva. A person becomes aware of the fact that statistically, according to the natural law of the universe, there's no chance, no serious possibility that he'll survive. L'matzavoshin eklal l'tocho hu yored l'mata ha'matzav chamur ma'od ha'rofim miyashin. He is so sick, so deathly ill, that the physicians have literally given up hope. There's no chance. Or he's olo l'gardim l'adun, and when he goes up to the guillotine and he's been condemned for death, he asks his lawyers, is there any chance that he'll get clemency? And they say no. And is there any chance for survival? No. No one's ever gone up to the guillotine and has been sent down. And man becomes so convinced of that that he despairs completely. What choice does he have? There's nothing left in the world to do except to be omed l'spalel, to pray. But who oses ot mitoch emunaso b'Hashem, but regiluso l'spalel. Yes. He certainly believes in God, but you know, he's been trained that in an eis tzara, in a difficult situation, in dire straits, he will die. But hu atzmo, if you would penetrate deep into his heart, eino mamin shetfiloso tuchal laso shinui b'matzav shu omid bo. You know, the physicians have given up all hope. His lawyers, his defense attorneys have given up all hope. He really doesn't believe that there's any chance of his survival. Again, perfunctory, he goes through the motions of tefillah. He is an Adam Ragil b'tefillah, and that's what he has to do, and that's what he's going to do. But he's not capable of having a real belief in that tefillah. The highest level, which is called tefillaso shlema, is when a person calculates that it's God who put him in this situation, it's God who can save him from this situation. I throw you into the pit, I can haul you up from the bottom of the pit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kol yachol, he is omnipotent. There's nothing that he can't do. HaKol biyado. And who shalach ha'choli hazeh, who yachol rapo. So he sent this illness, and he can also retract it and bring him back to health. Hu helo legardom? If this person was condemned to die at the guillotine, he's going to be hung. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who put him into that situation. And if that be the case, Hu yachol lahorido, then Hashem could take him out. God, there's no limit to God's power. And therefore, all he has to do is lishpok sicho. He's just got to pray and pray and pray via yizkeh. If he'll be zocher, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond and hearken to his tefillah. You know, I'm reminded of the famous story about the two chassidim. In one case, the chassid was living so many years as a married man, childless, and yet every year, year in and year out, he would go into the Rebbe and ask his Rebbe for a bracha. They should have children. The Rebbe gave him a bracha year in and year out, annually, once a year, and this goes on for years and years and years, and he still doesn't have any children. And yet his friend, the chassid who sits next to him in shul, or lives next to him on the block, also is in the same situation. He's childless, never goes for a bracha to the Rebbe, and a year to the date his wife gives birth. So the first chassid comes to the Rebbe with a time. He says, Rebbe, I don't understand. I come to you every single year for so many decades. I've been asking for a bracha, and this guy comes in for you, and a year later his wife has a baby. So the Rebbe says to him, did you go out and buy a crib? Meaning, do we really believe in the Koach HaTefillah? And in the case of the Shnayim She'ol Legardom, or the Shnayim She'nofel Amita B'choli, these were people who, Al Pi Derech HaTeva, everyone could predict that they would die. And therefore they didn't, although again, they were both Mispal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but only one of them had a real true belief that this tefillah could have an impact. And that reminds us of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The Gemara tells us of Masechta Brachos on Daf Yud that Yeshayahu ben Amoz, the Navi, came to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was guilty of a certain sin. He didn't get involved in procreation. And Yeshayahu foretells that Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakos, Tzav LeBeischa, leave your last will and testament, your final will, ki mesa tova lo tichya, you're going to die. And at this point, Chizkiyahu turns to the Navi and says to him, Ben Amoz, he doesn't even call him by his first name, Ben Amoz, kalei nevuasecha v'tzei, finish what you have to say and get out of here. Because kach mekublani beis aviyahu, afilu cherev chad munachas al tzavor shel odom, al yimna atzmo min arachamim. A person should pray and believe in the efficacy of prayer, even in a situation where there's a very sharp sword that is around his neck. It's about to kill him. And at this point, when Chizkiyahu HaMelech tells Yeshayahu that he doesn't accept this nevuah as final, because no matter how difficult the gzeirah, how difficult the dire straits are, he can still rely on the power of tefillah. The Gemara tells us, Miyad Hesiv Chizkiyahu Panav El Akir VaYispal Hashem. Immediately Chizkiyahu turned towards the wall, you know, that there should be no distractions. He could focus on a very profound prayer. And VaYispal Hashem. And the Gemara darshins, My Kir, is there some symbolic meaning to the word Kir? Rav Shimon Lakshmi Kiros Libo. Here's a case of Vikashta Misham Es Hashem Elokecha Umatzasa Kitirishen V'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was totally dedicated to tefillah. Mamish B'Mesiris Nefesh's whole essence was placed into this tefillah, and as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, granted him health for another 15 years until he got sick and died. Chizkiyahu achieves an extension of his life of 15 years because of tefillah, because he believes that no matter how dire the situation is, there is a koach of tefillah. Now let's swing back to Mordechai and Esther. Imagine the gzeirah against the Jews was very severe. Not only that, the king had attached his insignia, his seal, to the decree. And the law is Asher Nichtav B'Shem HaMelech V'Nechtam B'Tas HaMelech Ein LaHashiv. We have no power halachically to undermine the validity of a shtar that was signed and sealed B'Tabas HaMelech Ein LaHashiv. That's what the law is. Once this scroll, this document, this gzera is signed by the king himself with his insignia, it can never be returned. It can never be nulled and voided. So we're talking about Haman HaRasha, who was the hater of the Jewish people. Achashverosh probably hated the Jewish people even more. It got to the point where the Jewish nation understood that there was no hope. It was yeish. It was pure despair. How could they get out of such a tzara? Ah, Mordechai ben Yair, number one. B'tchila, the first step is Heir Einem Shel Yisrael B'tfila. He taught them Tfila 1.1, meaning he had to educate them to understand and appreciate the power of Tfila, that they should understand that Tfila is something that can save a person's life even when this Cherev Chada Munochas Al Tzavara. And after Heir Einem Shel Yisrael B'tfila, when he inspired them and he gladden their hearts because they knew for the first time, they realized that they do have a chance of survival, that everything comes from Hashem and Hashem is the one who puts you into this dire situation. He can take you out and save you, as we say in the Slichos for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Tzoso Marchiv Uber Tzoso Makatzer. Everything is in the hands of God. Is then Kasher Yoyer Einayim, when he lit up their eyes and they believed in the efficacy of tefillah, then they were ready for tefillah shlema, to organize every kavana that they could muster up in their tefillah. And now we know that Mordechai is not only Ben Yair, but he's Ben Shimi. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Shomea Tefilaso. Why? Because if we understand that God could do anything, then we can focus on at tefillah, believe in at tefillah. And now that we have all the preparatory, the preliminary elements are there, then Ben Kish, we're ready for Hikish, Al Dalse, Rachmin Veniftechulo, Umatzasa Kitzud Rishena Bechol Avavcha, Uvechol Nafshecha. Now, another issue that Reb Chaim Volozhin addresses with regard to tefillah, again, just to summarize what we've said until now, the equation of Reb Chaim Volozhin between tefillah and Mesiras Nefesh, replacing a karbon, that in tefillah there's a level of an experience which goes even beyond that of the Malachi Asharis of Zikuch HaNefesh V'Aguf. It's Mesiras Nefesh LaKadosh Baruch Hu on an ongoing basis, 24/7, not just Pamachas. And that is a madrega, a level, again, I can't say we're going to reach it, but we should understand how lofty and see a vision of that beautiful tefillah. And we spoke about the names of the dynasty of Mordechai and how the yesod of Mordechai is really to teach us about the power of tefillah, that Hashem puts us into difficult situations. Hashem could certainly free us and take us out of those same situations. But now, Reb Chaim, again here at the beginning of Avos Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, wants to address himself to what we call kavanos tefillah. What do you mean kavanos in tefillah? There's an obvious, shall we say, halachic requirement of kavanah in tefillah, which means I know that I'm standing in front of Hashem. You know, I'm engaged in a dialogue, so to speak, with Hashem. But there's another concept that uses the same term called kavanos b'tefillah that has a totally different meaning. This is not the halachic meaning. This is more of an esoteric, mystical reading meaning of the word kavanos and tefillah. And it has to do with the way the olamos work with all the different midos, the entire holy celestial sphere, which is organized in a way that's a little bit parallel to what we see here on earth. If you imagine a kingship, we don't have too many of those left today, but you know, there's a king and the queen and the palace and the offices that are around the palace until we finally get to the gates. And in the Shamayim there's also a kind of a similar structure of a beautiful, intricate system. And that intricate structure with perhaps the Kisei HaKavod in the middle and the Srafim and Ofanim, different types of angels. And in that glorious framework of Lamala, of up in Shamayim, there are possibly yichudim and kavanas where you can have in mind different things that would change the arrangement and the structure of the heavenly Shamayim. And that means that you can take Midas Adin and Midas Arachmim, you can find various combinations, and through those kavanas, the Arizal, for example, 5 centuries ago, he knew the kavanas of Tefillah, he would daven with those kavanas. Today you'll meet people who try to imitate generations gone by in terms of how to have these kavanos that would change and impact on the higher worlds. So how much should we get involved in this? How much effort should we put in to trying to come up with the right kavanos? Should we go to school and take a course in kavanos and tefillos to understand all the nuances and the secrets and the mystical, you know, mystically concealed concepts of tefillah and how our tefillah could reach up to the highest level? Says Rav Chaim, Kol ha-kavonos va-sodos shenizgalu al ha-tefillah ad hayom. All the different kavanas in tefillah, the secrets of tefillah that have been revealed up until this day, Einam ketipa me'ayam ha-gadol. It's not even worth a drop of the Yama Gadol where we want to amortize the fact that our kavanas and tefillah, again, these secret kind of mystical intentions, are not even a drop in the great sea, a droplet of water in the great sea. Keneged hakavana, if you talk about the kavana shehisig that was achieved by the katan mimei v'yesrim zkenim, there are 120 zkenim, great scholars who sat on the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, and they formulated the standard prayers as we have them with the kavanos that they had in mind, which are totally concealed to us, so that even if someone would just take this crash course in kavanos and sodos, even if he understands those kavanos and sodos that have been revealed over the course of Jewish history, he would still not even have a chance, says Rav Chaim Volozhin, to reach the ratio of a tipas hayam, tipas mayim to the Yama Gadol. Again, tipas mayim to Yama Gadol is almost zero, basically. And he says that when you talk about the kavanos that the Anshei Knesset HaGadol were capable of putting into the tefillah, the 120 skenim, the youngest, the lowest one of them, let's say Yonas ben Uziel, the Gemara says about him that the oaf would burn up if it, the bird would burn up and if it passed over his space over there, whatever that means symbolically. Even the katan, the smallest in stature of all these 120, lo hesig rak kifi erko v'sharish nishma, so he can only achieve kavanos up to the level of the root of his soul, but not beyond. And although this somewhat cryptic, ambiguous statement of the Ruach Chaim in his Pirush on Avos, he elaborates more in his Nefesh HaChaim. You know that the Nefesh HaChaim is divided up into 4 sha'arim. The 2nd sha'ar is dedicated to tefillah. And there in the 13th chapter, he speaks about this problem of we don't know the kavanos. Should we be learning the kavanos and putting these mystical concepts and intentions into our mind? And he starts by telling us, Reb Chaim, that there's someone who wrote a book called the Magid Meisharim. Now, let's do a little background here. The Beis Yosef, the Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, lived 5 centuries ago, and he was visited on a regular basis by a kind of a malach, a magid, who would reveal secrets to him. This is the Magid Meisharim. And Yesh li zor me lachshov b'shas tefillah b'shum machshov afil shel Torah mitzvos ki im b'tevos hatefillah atzma. Now, this book called Magid Meisharim records the conversations between the Malach and the Beis Yosef. And very early in the book, the Malach warns the Beis Yosef to be totally concentrated on his tefillah during prayer in such a way that he's not distracted at all, even by thoughts about Torah u'mitzvahs. What should he be focused on? Ki im b'tevos hatfila atzman. the very words of the tefillah as they were chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a person should just simply have kavanah for the tevos themselves. Whatever it says in the words, yeah, you can look at a translation, whatever it says in that translation, that's what you have to be careful about. For having in mind those tevos of tefillah. Tevos of tefillah. Now watch this. The word kavanah is left out. It doesn't say ki'im lekavanas tevos ha'tefillah. And that's what Reb Chaim points out over here, that when the Magid, when the angel instructed the Beis Yosef, be careful about having kavana during tefillah, nevertheless the same idea is not to be translated into kavanos, but into tevos ha'tefillah atzmah. Don't be dvarv shalom alechavi v'kavanas ha'tevos ki'im b'tevos atzmah. Ki be'emes bi omek pnimiyusam pnimiyus kavanas ha'tefillah eini tonu yodea ad ma. As far as the real, genuine, profound kavanos, those inner kavanos in tefillah, none of us know anything. We don't know beans about it. Ki gamash in his galalonu k'tzas kavanas ha'tefillah v'arasenu rishonu v'zuchar l'vocha kadish elyonu. Even that little amount, that very limited amount of what is the way you should daven with kavanas ha'tefillos was revealed to us in generations bygone, in the Rishonim's period of time, and even later. V'yada Akron, Yischarav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Selokim, Es Acharav HaKadosh Ish Elokim, Neira HaAriza. Wow. Harav HaKadosh, meaning this holy rabbi, the holiest rabbi that we've had in the last 5 centuries, the Arizal, even he, Asher Hifli Lasos, Vehigdil Lasos, Bekavonas Hanifloim, even if we take the Arizal as our paradigm of someone in the last 5 centuries who was able to have the Kavonas of Tefillah, you should know, he says, Enom ke'erech af ketipa b'neyam klal. You cannot even evaluate that Arizal and all the tefillos and the kavanos. Asher hifli v'hifli higdil lasos kavanos niflum. Enom bi'erech af ketipa b'neyam agadol klal neged pnimius omek. Kavanas anshei knesset hagdol nesachnei ha'tefillah shehayu mea v'eshem zkenim u'mehem kama nevi'im. Even the Arizal, who's the highest, the most profound, the paradigm of kavanas b'tefillah of the last who knows how many centuries of gdolim, he doesn't reach the level of a drop in the entire ocean compares to the kavanas of the original Anshei Knesset Gadol who formulated the takanas of tefillah. And therefore, bottom line is, we are so far removed from kavanas and tefillah, so what should we be doing? Lizo, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, Mi asher ome besod Hashem al omek kavanaso yisparach shmo ezed derech or yishkon ora shall kolteva pratis mehem. He says, all we can think about is the teva. That's what the Malach said to the Beis Yosef. Teva satfila atzman. Each teva has within it a certain or a certain light. Ikar bavoda satfila, says Reb Chaim, shebe'esha demotzi mipiv kolteva mitfila. Every second that he enunciates one of the various words of the tfila, yitzayer lo, he should imagine in his mind, in the eye of his mind, the letters of the teva, of each word of tefillah, as it is. In other words, he's supposed to be, you know, have a photographic memory to take a photograph of the page of davening, of the sitter, and have that page in front of him in his mind, and read the tefillos word for word from the mind, you know, from the machshavta. V'hi skula nifla baduk umenusel amargilim atzvo. This is a skula. This is a well-proven magical formula. And we've proven it over again for those who get used to doing it this way and memorize each word, and they're constantly thinking of, as they're giving lip service and reading these words, of each word that's, again, somewhere in the abstract world. And that's a skula levatel ulahasim ve'olav bazek ol machshavos hachavolim atordos u'mriyas taras ha-machshava kavon. He says the worst challenge to a proper tefillah is these machshavos, these tordos, these all sorts of thoughts that penetrate into the mind, and they prevent the person from having pure machshava kavana. And it's a great skula to get rid of these, you know, outside distractions by just seeing the words of the tefillah in front of your eyes. And Kol Asher Yosef Hargelov is that, as you know, the more, the greater he gets used to this as time goes on. Yitzvasef lo tarav machshavato b'tefillah v'hi kavana pashtis. He will get stronger and stronger in his tara. Tara of Mashav, meaning that he's not distracted. And that's really the simple kavana that a person has to strive for. That should be his goal. And that's what he wants to achieve. His objective is not to get through the, you know, recite with all the thoughts about kavanas, metaphysical kavanas that the Arizal had. Forget about all that. Just simply to read the words of the tefillah, the inherent power in the words, that's the kavanah of the tefillah. And if you read it word for word, letter by letter, in front of your eyes, that's a skula nifla to completely neutralize the machshava of all those chablanim, you know, all those who try to undermine your ability to have kavana b'tefillah. If you're dedicated to reading the words letter by letter, you know, you're so involved in that process, trying to get the, you know, the best out of the words. That itself is a tremendous gula for taras hamachshav, which is so necessary in tefillah. And then Reb Chaim Volozhin adds the last postscript, and he says, "V'hinei alocha psuka b'shasha tefillah nemar b'chol losh." And you'll ask me, well, it's great to memorize the letters, the words of the tefillah, but the halacha says in Shulchan Aruch that you can pray in any language. So there are no, you can't say there are any kavanas that are inherent in French or in English, such that when I read the words in that language, I link up to worlds and worlds of kavana. We can only possibly say that for Lashon Kodesh, where the meaning of the word is inherent in the word. He says, "Havol ein aroch lemisha espalo b'loshan hakodesh be'elu atevos dafka sha'omdim beruma shel olam u'medabe kol kochosov behem." He says it's true that halachically you could fulfill your basic obligation of tefillah by praying in any language, but you cannot compare that tefillah to someone, to another tefillah of someone who davens b'loshan hakodesh in the Hebrew holy tongue, and every single word is enunciated, and he deliberately thinks about the word and reads the word. That's called Dvarim HaOmdim Berumo Shel Olam U'Medabe Kol Kochosu Behem. A person links up all his feelings and his thoughts to the Osios Kitzurasa. That's going to uplift his tefillah enormously. You can't even count that, compare that in any way. It's not comparable to a tefillah b'lashon acher in a foreign tongue. You know, I'm reminded that the Rav Zichron Vilcha used to tell us that they used to find Reb Chaim before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur sitting on the couch and mumbling. And I don't know who had the chutzpah to ask him, "Rebbe, what are you mumbling about?" So Reb Chaim Brisk is mumbling. What was he mumbling? And he told them that he was memorizing the tefillah. Now, Reb Chaim lived way after the printing press. He had a matzah. He didn't have to recite the tefillah bal peh. Why was he busy, preoccupied, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, with memorizing the tefillah? So apparently he davened without a sitter. And therefore he had to be very careful to know that he was memorizing every word in the tefillah. Can't leave out words. But the answer is, now I see the answer, which I never knew, that Reb Chaim Volozhin says that there's this tremendous power in a skula to seeing the words themselves in front of the apple of your eye, you know, the mind's eye, in such a way that you're not reading it, you're seeing it. And you are davening with the kavana that's inherent in every single word. There's an inner kavana in the words. It's like in the heft of the word itself. And that is the ultimate kavana that we can realistically hope for. And that's a tremendous levana. I said at the beginning of the shiur, Reb Chaim is giving us a vision of something that's almost beyond our human reach. But here's something that you might want to try. Do it as an experiment. You know, to close your eyes and see the teva, the word, in front of your eyes. And to be motzi mipiv kol teva miatfila sheyitzar b'machshav. So every teva is ingrained in the mind. You know, you see it up there on the mental screen, and that's where you recite the tefila. Wow, that's really amazing. If that's what Reb Chaim had in mind, you know, I'm thrilled. I'm exhilarated by the fact that I was able to put these two things together and figure out why Reb Chaim, you know, in our context, we usually encourage and recommend people to read every tefillah, every bracha, if possible, from the written ksav. And I remember my Rebbe, Rabbi Be'eri Shlita, when I was my first Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in Yeshiva Gdol in Kerbi Avdon, he told us that we should recover on ourselves to recite benching and Brach Achronis and everything from a sitter, you know, that because otherwise you get distracted. But here we're saying that that's not the ultimate level. The ultimate goal might be forget about the sitter, forget about the box, and just see the words in front of your eyes, in front of your mind, and read it from that mental blackboard, and see every letter and every word, and have kavana to get to the simple meaning of the word, but to the deeper meanings, which you yourself might for sure don't know how to do that. But once you have kavana for the letters themselves will do the job for you. Now we mentioned the Shem and Rosh. And I wanted to get back to another piece in the Shem and Rosh ben Avraham Avinu, but let's just first mention a few things about the Nefesh HaChaim and the impact of the Nefesh HaChaim. In this Perek Yud Gimel that's part of Shaar Beis, dedicated to Tefillah, the point that Reb Chaim is making is further embellished by his introduction, something that he writes in his introduction to the Safra Detznius of the Gaon. And he writes that the Gaon once told him the following story. He said that he never understood how careful you have to be with tefillah, the Gaon, until Hashem revealed it to him. What happened? He had a certain mimer in the Zohar which he couldn't figure out. Yogati yigios rabos al havonis mimer echad b'zohar kosh pe'inyan rosh chodesh yud beis shvuim. For 12 weeks, he was toiling and trying to work and understand a passage in the Zohar. V'lo ola b'yodi l'far shoemes. He's telling Reb Chaim that despite all this yigia and all this work, I was not able to come to understand the true meaning of this statement in the Zohar. Vihine, however, biyom Rosh Chodesh Echon, on one particular Rosh Chodesh, biyom dilus fal tefilas amida de shachris, I was davening shachris, berega echon, in one moment, nofal b'machshavti, biyoso maimer lefarsho al shiva ofayim, that difficult passage in the Zohar, all of a sudden I was able to interpret it in seven different ways. Uma hayli lasos, all I have to do is what? Is efshal shos ma'at. Give me a few seconds of time to, you know, review those seven interpretations of the Maimar of the Zohar, ula sadra machshava, so I can organize it in my thought. And then I'll go back and continue my tefillah of Hizlo Yechoshiv kehefsek. It's not a hefsek. It's not an interruption in tefillah. And that's what the Gaon did. He decided for Reva Minut, a quarter of a minute, I guess that's 15 seconds, I don't know how many seconds, and he decided that he would focus on those seven interpretations that were revealed to him during that half a minute, during that quarter of a minute, I should say. V'shuv chazarti tekev ligmar tfilos. I went back to finish chakras after this 15-second break. V'achar gomri tfilosi. If I finished, I completed my tfilos. Bonanti al amara lachzar aleim. I wanted to do a chazor again on these seven interpretations, make sure that I didn't forget any of them. V'hine ma'uma ein biyodi nishtakhu bimeni ligamri. I didn't remember one single iota of the seven interpretations. Nothing. They were all forgotten. V'nitztarati al zeharvi. I was very upset. V'shahisi kmo chatzi shah lahasir u'lahasiyach daiti mitzar v'likro sahal. I couldn't get up to say hal. I needed a half hour to overcome my disappointment in the fact that seven, here I had in my hand seven different interpretations of the Zohar, and they're all gone, like an etch-a-sketch, completely removed. Oh, but kisha amdi lispal musaf, when I finally recollected myself, I was able to say, to recite Hallel, and now I'm ready for Musaf. Hine noflu oda pam kol shiva ofanem achshav tigurishonu. Now I was put back in the same test. And boom, all seven interpretations came back to my mind. But shuv lo panisi machshavti mitfilosai klum, says the Gaon, I learned the hard way. But in this case, I did not distract myself for 1 minute, for 1 second even from the machshavas hatfilah at all. Lo nasati daitelim laharbem, I didn't think about the seven interpretations, even though they were so exciting, so meaningful. The Gaon reports that after he finished his Musaf Tefillah, all seven interpretations came back into his mind, and how beautiful and how, you know, sweeter than honey this was, the experience of the Gaon. And Reb Chaim writes that Mizeh Tovin Godel Kedushas Taras Machshavta B'Tefillah. You see how the demands of a Tara of purity of thought are so high, and the standards are so great with regard to Tefillah. Asher Gamzei Anechshav Etzel Machshava Zora B'Tefillah. Even to be distracted by thinking thoughts of Torah, seven interpretations of a Zohar about Rosh Chodesh, even that's considered a hefsek. It means that for the period of time of I don't know how long it takes to say, to recite Shmon Esrei, maybe it's 2 minutes, maybe it's 5 minutes, it depends on the individual, but for that period of time, total exclusive focus on the words, the meaning of the words, to see the osios, as we said before, and no distractions, no thinking either about Torah or mitzvahs. All that is unacceptable, because that too is a distraction from tefillah. And that's an amazing halacha, that requirement that halacha to demand that a person during the time of Shmon Esrei have no distractions whatsoever, and to be able to focus exclusively on the Shmon Esrei. And here I want to share with you, before we get to the Shemin Rosh, to end our discussion, is the Igros. There's a collection, anthology of letters that the Chazon Ish had written to his Talmidim. And with regard to the issue about how to face a certain crisis, whether you look at it from a Hishtadlus point of view and do whatever you can, al piderech tov, or you should tefillah, you should pray with amuna, the Chazon Ish testifies about himself that he would be misamitz v'tfilah lahaviris ra gzeira. He wasn't misyaches to ishtadlus with anything more than krirus. You know, he was cult, he was cold to ishtadlus. He says, al pirov, ein ishtadlus brura. Even when you do something and you try to solve the situation, you probably won't be successful. You don't know which is the right way of doing it, but you know that tfilah is always reliable. That's the power of tfilah. And finally, the Shemin Rosh goes into two interpretations offered by Rashi based on Chazal, Rashi in Chumash, on the Pasuk in Avraham Avinu Parshas Vayetzi. It says, Vayotze oto hachutza vayomer abetna shamayim usfar kochav mimtuchal. God says to Avram, you go outside the Ohel, look up at the heavens, try to count the stars. What's this all about? The Gemara says, say that when it says that God took him out, it means meaning your stars had, you know, if you go into the zodiac, had been organized in a way that it predicted you would never be able to have a child with Sarah. And Avram Avinu and Sarah would be childless as a couple. Go out, break out of that circle of its tagninus, of the astrological predictions. And then Rashi offers a second shot in the name of the Gemara on Shabbos, and that is Hotzio. God took him out, not from the tagninus, from the zodiac, but Michalol Shel Olam, from the limits of the physical space of this world. Vigbio Lamalam and Akokhavim. And he lifted Avram Avinu above the stars. And the Shemin Rush wants to suggest and present a thesis that these two interpretations are not at loggerheads, but rather can be integrated together. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And really, they're both together and they're interdependent. The Gemara says in Brachos, what does David HaMelech mean in Tehillim Yud Beis when he says Kerom Zalus Livnei Adam, something that's Rom, that's very high and lofty, Zalus Milosh and Zilzil, yet people don't appreciate its greatness? Elu Dvar Ma'om De Beruma Shalolim B'nei Adam Mizalzil Behem, something that belongs to the higher world, it's really up, and people don't take it seriously. And Rashi explains, go in Tefillah. Feel is up. It's Omei Beruma Shalolam, and yet people are mezalzel. They don't realize the significance of tefillah. Now the truth is, I'm not sure why tefillah. The Shemin Rush points out, Yesh Lavan Halo Ola Lamala Kol Mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs, Berechilu, Berechimo, we do it with fear and love. Parch and Liela, they go up and up on high. Maishna tefillah. Why is tefillah unique? Shenikreis Dvar Ma'om De Beruma Shalolam. And the answer, he says, lies in a careful, meticulous reading of the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Haim Siman Tzadi Beis, very famous words of the Shulchan Aruch when he tells you how to daven and how to daven with kavona and intention. Also, he has to somehow eliminate all those thoughts that tend to pounce upon him when he's davening and cause him to be distracted from his tefillah. He's pure kavana, pure intention, that's all his machshav. He's only thinking about the tefillah itself. He should make a kalva chomer if he was speaking in front of a human king. Certainly, he'd be so focused on his words, make sure he doesn't say the wrong thing. His kalva chomer, how much more so if they melech malchi amloch makosh baruch, he's standing in front of Almighty God, who's infinite, who choker kol machshavos, who understands all of his thoughts. How much more so should he, in this case, be focused on his kavanas halev and be meser kol machshavos hatordos? So he has a pure kavanas zaka b'tefila. V'cheino yu osin chasidim ashi maisa, yu mizbodim mechavdim b'tefiloson. And the chasidim and ashi maisa back in the day would focus for a period of time, maybe an hour before they davened, in order to prepare themselves for a pure kavanah b'tefillah. Acha yumagim, they reached the level of lispashtus agashmius, where they were spirited beings and without connection to their physical corporeal body. Lisgaros, lisgabrus, koach hasichli. And it means that the mind and the focus of the mind is so powerful and so profound that everything else becomes lost, even in connection to this physical world. They reach that high level of prophecy. No, it turns out then that if a person is mispalad, he pours out his heart in front of Hashem with a supplication, and he's mechazik that with kavanas tefillas as if he's not living in this world. It's pashtus agashmis. He's no longer connected to this world. As we said at the outset, Reb Chaim holds that when you enter into the world of prayer, you're leaving this world. But who meiser kol machshavtos hashmagilus pashtus agashmis kevin shalom mutzav b'mokom machshavto, if his mind is in this is pashtus agashmis, you know, this higher state, the higher world of spirituality, then that's where he is. You are where your thoughts are. Hare b'shas tefila hu omeid berumo shalol. Then it means that as he's davening with all those kavanos, he is standing above this world in the rumo shalolam, something above this world. Hu mufshat mikol yoni olav the omeid chutz mimena. He's completely stripped and devoid of any connection with this world. He's standing outside of this world. Machshavto mishotetes bel yonim. His thoughts go, you know, to travel through the higher worlds. V'diburim shel tefila, through the words of tefila, and therefore heim dvar ma'omdim v'rumo shel olam. These words of tefila that express his rumo shel olam of being above this entire universe with the darg of his pashla gashmias is divrei Torah elu ne'morim. To reach such a level of rumo shalolam, you can't do it while you're deep down, entrenched down here on this earth. If man can only climb up this high to the level of his pashas agashmis, then he takes his tefillah with him. And therefore his words of tefillah belong to a higher world, and he himself belongs to that world. And therefore, when Avram saw in his itztagninus that alpi mazel he doesn't have the ability to have a child with Sarah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say to him, same itztagninus shalcha, a mazel b'Yisrael, that there could be a change here from the old bad mazel to a new mazel, letova. And how? Through tefillah. And therefore he took him outside, Hotzio Michalol Shalom, he took him out of this universe and to a higher universe, Lahoroso Al Koach HaTefillah, so that he can teach him about Tefillah. Sha'oz Ha'adam Omei Barumo Shalom. So when Hashem takes Avram Avinu out of his tent and he lifts him to the above the Chalol Shalom, then he's giving Avram Avinu a lesson in what tefillah, the paradigmic tefillah is all about. Sha'oz, that's the paradigmic tefillah, is when a person reaches that level, his pashas agashmas, he's omei beruma shel olam, he's no longer in the halal of this world, the space of this world. Misroma mikol inyonei gufniyim, he's above all corporeality, and then he breaks out of his zodiac. He breaks his yotzeis, hu yotza mi itztagnuso. And if this be the case, we can understand why Chazal constantly call the Avos Harim. Harim are mountains, huge, gigantic, tall mountains. Very dramatic. Kihumi Lashon Romanus. Har is Lashon Romanus. It's all the way on top. It's lofty. Afshar Hema B'kdushasa Misromu Michol Inyoni Olam. That the Avos were able to cut themselves off from this physical world in an act of prayer that brought them all the way up on top to the Rumah Shel Olam, to the higher worlds and spheres of heavens. V'chol machshavtam haisa b'nyanei ruchniyim. They were totally focused on divinity. V'heim tiknu atfilos ha'omdim b'rumah shel olam. Right, there's one man the Omer that says that Avos tiknu, they actually formulated the tefillos because they were up there in the Rumah Shel Olam. That's why they're called mountains. Kizeh ha'yakol mahusam lios prushim uvdolim in olam v'lamod barumo shel olam. And that's what Avraham Avinu was being told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the highest level of tefillah as described by the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, to reach the level at Shemagil is Pashtus HaGashmius. In such a case, man, through tefillah, is lifted above this physical world. He cuts himself off from this lower world, and he lives in a world of divinity and spirituality. And that's what it means when we say that, say Hashamayim Usfara Kochavim, and this is Avram Avinu as the paradigm of tefillah. And we said before that we have to work very hard, that during the moments of tefillah we should be totally focused and all those distractions should be removed. And even as we saw beautifully illustrated by the story of the Gaon, even thoughts of Torah that you would think, well, let me just take a break in the middle of my tefillah to think about this Torah and get it out of my system. No, you have to be misgaber, you have to push off these thoughts, because they undermine. And there's a school, as we said before, of looking at the letters of the tefillah, and that puts you into the kavana mood and mode in such a way that you'll be overcoming all those distractions that try so hard to penetrate into your brain. Yirotzom it be his will, that we reach at least some level of tefillah that's somewhat an image or of an image of what we spoke about today in terms of the Mesiris Nefesh, in terms of the Rumo Shel Olam of tefillah, and to believe in tefillah as Mordechai taught us, to the extent in which, no matter how sharp the knife around our neck is, we don't give up hope, we have optimism, we have faith, Hashem did that, He'll do that. He put us into Avdus, He'll bring us into Chirus. And we hope that this should come about, and we should all be inspired and try to strive for these higher levels of tefillah, Kein Yiratzon, Amen. If Hashem listens to that tefillah and hearkens, we can break and destroy and nullify zeros that Chas V'Shalom, the enemies are plotting and planning and scheming against us. It's Netzach Yisrael O Yishakir. The Koch HaTefillah is awesome. It's infinite, and it projects us into a close, intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.